Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight's episode of Ready to Unload with Cal and Sanpete is sponsored by Blue Haven NYC in Greenwich Village, New York City's sports bar for grown-ups. Go to www.bluehavennyc.com for details.
Hello there, and welcome to another episode of Ready to Unload with Cal and Sanpete, New York Sports Talk podcast, and more. Coming to you live from Bayside, New York, Commack, New York, Freehold, New Jersey, and maybe a little later, Bayville, New York, but we'll see. This is episode 3.36 of Ready to Unload. It is 9:30. It is Thursday night. It is time for Ready to Unload with Cal and Sanpete. And thank you for joining us. Welcome to the podcast, another show. It's going to be a little different tonight. Things are going to be a little different. Okay, it's not going to be the same stuff around here. Because, frankly, we've all had our mad as hell and not going to take it anymore moments. PJ and I are not feeling well. Cal is apathetic. Let's bring him in. Let's bring in the co-host of the radio program. I'm on a NyQuil high right now, by the way, Cal. So I'm not sure what's going to happen. I'm still a little shaky with the NyQuil. Here he is, the co-host of the show, Mr. Calneva Calpino Caliente. Hi, Mr. Apathetic. Hey. Hey, Bri.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, I guess, right? We're doing a show?
I guess.
Cool.
It's good to see you.
We're not. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, could go either way. I feel like we're gonna do.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Yeah. No, I'm good. I'm good.
You know, too much happened. too much just happened in the last week. We there's just too much with the Mets and the Yankees and the Jets and just too much. It's just too much.
That's a lot. The NHL lockout.
The NHL.
Don't forget that.
We didn't even. Hit on the fact that the NHL has locked itself out for the second time in, what, 6 years?
Seven years? Right.
Good job, everybody. Great job. Way to...
Yeah.
And
lost the season. They actually canceled an entire season last time, and here we are again, 7 years later.
Again. That bet.
Thank you, fans. Thank you, fans.
There's your big thank you.
Right.
Thanks for welcoming us back. Thanks for getting over the lost season. And bend over. There's an NHL lockout. The replacement referees, which is a joke. I mean, it continues to be a joke. And then the NFL, did you see this, Bri? The NFL sent out a memo to all 32 teams, their coaches and players, that their behavior last week with the replacement refs was unacceptable.
Right.
So it's the coaches and players' fault that these guys are refereeing games, not the NFL's fault. A gajillion dollar industry. Please, see what did I say? I said I wasn't going to get worked up, and I'm getting worked up. George is getting very upset.
So why don't you explain what we're going to do tonight?
Here's,
we're going to do things a little differently, right?
Yeah, we're going to do things a little differently. Here's what I wanted to do. We are going to. Just have some, you know, sports conversations. Nothing current. The Giants are shellacking the Panthers, by the way. Spoiler alert.
Other than that.
Yeah, other than that.
Starting now.
Start and go. No, we're just going to have a conversation, just a talk about some of the things that we've always wanted to talk about on the show, whether it be a great sports conversation that we put off having because we needed to be topical or whatever. We're just going to do that. I got a huge thing of coffee. Do you see this? Look at the size of this coffee.
Is that an actual helmet?
That is an actual this is an actual Rydell helmet filled with coffee.
Wow.
I'm going to go ahead and do it. I don't even care. Let's just hang out and talk. One of the we may have a couple of guests, a couple of friends join us to just BS. PJ's under the weather. I'm a little under the weather, but I'm not going to let it affect me. I'm a professional. I'll rise above it. How was your week otherwise? Everything okay?
Yeah, you know, it's been good. It's interesting getting back into a routine after having the summer to kind of just live footloose and fancy free, as they say.
Right.
The kids kind of doing what they want to do, and now you got to kind of rein them back into a schedule, and so it's an adjustment period right now.
Was that the name of the band for the girls, like the
Footloose
Partridge Family, Footloose and Fancy Free? Is that how you're going to travel the countryside?
I think so. If we had a family band, maybe that's what we'd name it.
All right, what would Allison play in that family band?
Well, she's a tambourine, obviously.
Clearly. Footloose and Fancy Free. Here they are.
Hey, and she had tambourine background vocals.
Yep. Here's a couple of the topics, Cal. I'm glad everything else is okay. I'm with you. I mean,
how are you? Let's time out here. Time out.
Did you just put the show in timeout?
I'm stopping play right now because I need to call something out. I just realized this after almost 3 years of doing this show. You always ask me how my week was. How are you doing? How was everything? And, you know, for the first time in over 150 episodes, let me ask you, Steve, how was your week?
I thought you'd never ask.
I almost never did.
It's good. It's good. Other than the complete... to use a Jewish word, Mishigas, Happy New Year, by the way, to our Jewish friends. La Shana Tova, I believe is the way it's said. I'm fine. Other than the sports stuff with really it being difficult to read the papers after the Jet loss, and then Adam Rubin calling out Ike Davis from a baseball source and saying he stays. I mean, just the sports stuff swelled to a place of I couldn't take it anymore.
Hmm.
So other than that, I'm delightful. I'm a little sick, going to battle it, a lot of NyQuil, but I'm good. I'm there. I'm ready. Let's get into this. Let's do this.
Okay.
Enough with the thing, with the guy. Let's do this.
Do we have a big unload? Or
I think the whole show's a big unload.
I'll hit the music.
Well, we should do the promo first, though.
Of course.
Of course. Cal, if you want to go watch a game, right, and you want to be like in a cool bar where you're not ashamed to bring Allison and the girls even, if you wanted to. I got the place.
The 9-year-old?
Right. I got the place for you. Blue Haven in New York City. Blue Haven NYC, www.bluehavennyc.com, sports bar for grown-ups. The place is fantastic. They have all the games, 15 screens, 2 6-foot screens, all the games on Saturday, all the football games. They're probably having a party right now watching the Giant game. So if you're even listening to this and you want to go watch the second half of the Giant game, go down to Blue Haven. They run specials all the time. They still have that 80-ounce tower of Coors Light, Cal.
Love that.
The kids are talking about it. The place.
I mean, it's a tower.
It's a tower of beer. It is. They have all the games. They have great food. It is a place that you can bring your girlfriend or your wife and not be embarrassed. Blue Haven Sports Bar NYC. Go to www.bluehavennyc.com for daily specials to check them out. The place is great. Cal and I are going to do a remote from there. It's going to be super cool. Super cool. And so you should check it out. Check out our friends down at Blue Haven. Okay. Now we go right to the big unload. Now we cue the music.
Before we do that, though.
Nope, sorry. Big Country demands we go directly to the Big Umbo. I'm sorry. What were you gonna say? I'm sorry. I'll cut it. Cut. Cut.
No, don't cut it. Cut, let it play. No, let it play.
What?
You can tell this night is not like most nights.
Okay.
All right. I realize that I never asked you how you are.
Sure.
Because I'm a selfish. You know what?
Selfish is strong. Very strong.
So, with my in my magnanimous attempt to try to find out how you are, we seem to have forgotten to bring somebody into the show.
Right.
And boy, did he let us have it.
He did. He unleashed a tirade, a torrent of curse words that are not appropriate. And you know what? Tonight, Chief Cal, he needs love. Let's bring him in. Let's bring him in. Bishop, Pop Culture PJ, Bish, we're sorry, man. Sorry.
That wasn't aimed at you. That was aimed at the Blog Talk Radio lady that you only get to hear if you call in.
Oh.
I wasn't cursing at you. I was cursing at the robot lady who says, "Welcome to Blog Talk Radio."
Yeah, why is she British?
If you'd like to be frustrated, press 1.
Does the sound of my voice frustrate you slightly? Good.
I gotta say, I'm having a rough day. I'm having a rough night.
What's the matter, PJ? What's happening with you?
Do y'all know the Keurig coffee maker?
Well, slow down. Do we all? What happened there, Tex?
Do you chaps?
Go easy, Chappy. Let's
gentlemen, do yous know of a coffee maker called Keurig?
That's better. Yes.
All right.
Not only do I know of it, it ranks number 3 on the list of greatest things in my life.
Right. It kind of takes over, right?
Behind the iPod.
Yeah.
And the DVR.
Most important appliances in the house.
If Apple made one and you could operate it from an iPhone
for it.
Oh boy,
that would be it.
Oh boy,
right.
That would be the end. Well, I'm having a problem in that all of my favorite coffees have been discontinued, and every time I'm making myself a cup of coffee, I'm getting upset.
It's a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy.
I got 6 down, 5 to go.
They got
6. Wait, 6 of them have been discontinued?
What's going on?
And you had 11 favorite coffees?
Oh, well, you don't know. You don't know what we have in our kitchen.
Are you a professional?
Seen it, Steve.
I have. I have seen the layout. It is impressive.
The little compartments. There are, let me count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I have 12 storage containers on my counter. And in each storage container, there are at least 2 brands. That's how many Keurig coffees we keep on hand at all times.
You've taken it to a new level. You have.
We got stupid with it.
You get dopey with it. You did. And now they've discontinued 5 of them.
They've discontinued our favorites. There was one called Wake Up Call. You know, kind of ha-ha, chuckle. There was one... Wolfgang Puck had a whole line of them, and one of them was called Vienna Coffee, and that was my favorite. And now it's gone.
Wow. Somebody could use a cup of Vienna coffee right now.
And then he had a second one called Rodeo Drive, and that was my second favorite, and it's also gone.
That's a little fey, that one.
Now I have it's a little California. It's a little left coast is what it is.
Hey, give me a cup of the Rodeo Drive. Little bit.
Well, I wish I could, but guess what?
Gone.
It's gone. And you know where you can find it? You can find it on Amazon. And do you know how much it is? It's $100 a box.
Come on.
I'm not kidding. My wife just asked me if I looked.
We just,
how bad do you want it?
Yeah, how
bad
do you want it?
That might be worth it to my wife, actually. She's like, really? Only $100 a box? That stuff is gold.
That's how much of that's the crack that you're considering right now.
Well, what would you pay for crack?
That's a good question.
It's good. It's crack.
It's that's why they call it crack.
That's why it's called. It's the crack of crack.
Exactly.
Mm.
All right.
I'm kind of out to sea. I got to find new stuff. That's all I'm saying. I got to find
time
new
for the Dunkin' Donuts K-Cups, kid. Let's do it.
Don't like them.
Wow.
Don't like them. I don't like
now,
them.
See,
I don't
now
do
that I'm about to kick you. I'm about to kick you off my airwaves.
I don't
enough.
Do Arabica. Of all the beans, Arabica beans are my third favorite. So I'm not going to go there first.
Wow. Of all the beans, because you've had them all, clearly.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Can we talk about sports now?
Sumatran?
I'm sorry I brought him in.
And the other reason I was depressed was because I started betting again after our conversation on gambling, and I took the Panthers. So.
Wow. Yeah, that's not going well.
Another streak ended.
You started gambling again. I love it. I love that it was so easy to set you back into your gambling ways. That all it took was a 10-minute conversation about
all
it.
All it took was a conversation.
12.
I gotta have a taste.
Right. It took a conversation at 10. You basically had the bad Saturday Night Live sketch,
right.
And that was the conversation, the 10-to-1 sketch, and that was our conversation about gambling. And you're back. You're full.
That's it.
I love it. Good. Well, what kind of action did you lay? Did you lay something nice?
No, that's fiction. I would never bet against the Giants. Come on.
Good move. Especially when their backs are against the wall. Never bet against that team. Ever. Oh, they're missing 19 players, and Eli Manning has to play on a pogo stick. Taking
right.
plus one, minus 20.
Right. They're going to come out
we
like angry
gonna,
feral
we weren't
cats.
We're going to do that tonight.
We're not going to do that tonight. Let's get to let's angry feral cats. That should be their new team name.
I'm glad
the New York, the New York angry feral cats. I like that.
To know that my microphone actually gets to your ear.
It does. It does. It's about to leave my ear. Okay. No, I love you. The first thing I wanted to bring up, first discussion I wanted to have, I thought we could have. We've touched on it before. Let me set it up, Cal. Here's the why. So remember I told you about all the great guys in my office that are big basketball guys?
Yes.
The guys in production, and then the FedEx guy, whose nickname is XL, because he's big, who's awesome. And he comes, you know, twice a day, Federal Express, big part of our business, et cetera, et cetera. And he comes in the other day on Monday because of Rosh Hashanah. Most of my office was empty. By the end of the day, it was basically just the Gentiles. So we wound up, and the guys in production happened to be mostly Gentiles, and me, and XL. So we wound up in this great conversation again about Wilt Chamberlain. This conversation always starts with Wilt Chamberlain, because XL continues to maintain that Wilt Chamberlain would not be the same player today. If you took Wilt Chamberlain and put him in the NBA today, he's not as dominant. And I argued, you're nuts. But I said it really nicely because he's big. He's like a really big guy. So everything I'm a kitten in those conversations.
What did you respectfully disagree?
That's correct.
On that?
Yeah. There's nothing like the sports conversations that we have had, you know, where Dr. E-Ray Stat and I have once come to blows over Jose Reyes while playing darts. Nothing like that.
Right.
No. This guy's like 6'4", like 290. If you say so, I respectfully disagree. But you're the boss. No, so my contention was Wilt Chamberlain would be dominant in any era. Would he be 50 points a game dominant? Probably not. But he would be dominant in any era because he was that elite of an athlete. And so that set us to talking about different eras in basketball, what players could play when, who's the greatest of all time. Then we went into boxing. We talked a little bit about, Tyson and Ali, you know, Muhammad Ali and who Ali. And then, you know, because we started talking about individual sports, and we said, well, that's a little different because that's based more on who is your competition at that time. Like Roger Federer, is Roger Federer a lesser player? Because a lesser champion, a lesser great, because he hasn't had the guy to go against.
Yes.
He didn't have the pizza. BJ, there'll be time for you. But, you know, so that with the individual sports, you start to get into that conversation. So I wanted to really talk about this in the four major sports because the eras are so different when it comes to – so if you're talking about – basketball is a great place to start, I think.
Okay.
Because it is you don't have to go as positionally, and the game has changed so much. So let me start it by saying, is Michael Jordan the greatest player of all time? Or is he just the best player of that era?
Well, I think we can agree that he's the best player of that era, for sure.
Okay.
All right, and you're right. Eras change, and the landscape of the sport changes every couple of decades, and the type of athlete and the skill set, and it evolves. It changes, it evolves, and so it's very difficult. And I agree with you. When you have this conversation, like if you want to say who's the best ever at anything, it's very difficult to make that. I mean, it's a fun argument, and it's a fun discussion.
Sure.
But you, like, if someone said you have to name the best player of all time in order to, you know, live, you can't do it. That's not fair because it's just it's impossible. There's too many variables involved to definitively state one person is the best ever in their particular sport.
Right.
So that's where I stand on that. As far as Michael Jordan, is he the best of all time? The common theory is yes. Most people will tell you, yes, he's the best of all time. I don't think it's that easy as just saying, you know, he's the best. He's, you know, where you could go with this, and I think that this is a perfectly acceptable answer. He's the best I've ever seen.
That's the other one we got into. See, that's great. Like, can you then qualify it by saying just that? It's the best I've ever seen. But, you know, we got tape. Right, like I mean, I know that it's not the same as seeing a guy in person, but this came up in the Wilt argument because I said, you know, I've seen a lot of tape on Wilt, and you can watch, you know, a lot of tape on Wilt. You can't watch the 100-point game because nobody recorded it, but you know, and I'm not saying he's going to average 50 a night. No one's ever going to do that again. But he, you know, you're telling me he's not going to get 30 and 15. Because he's an elite athlete. Like, they didn't even know that he played for the Globetrotters. You know, like, Wilt was on the Globetrotters. Like, it was crazy sick on the Globetrotters. You know, so he had all the fundamentals and the athleticism. I think a guy like Wilt is transcendent. Now, Jordan, at only 6'6", so you can't – Wilt is also tall. Jordan, you know, does he have to play – did he ever play against – if you take Pippen off that team, is he the greatest of that generation? I mean, Scottie Pippen's tremendously underrated, right?
Of course he is.
So, do you? Scottie Pippen's the better defender on that team. You know, I just think, you know, Wilt plays in any generation. I think Jordan is maybe the best of that era. You put him in the top 10. Now, could Jordan have played in the 60s? Of course. You know, think about it, too. There was no three-point line, Cal. Right? Wilt never had to – Wilt Chamberlain, for example, never played against – who was the biggest guy? I mean, he played against Bill Russell. He played against Walton, right? Bill Russell, you know, obviously regarded as one of the greatest defenders of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. Who's 7 feet tall that Wilt is going against?
Right, he didn't have anybody that could defend him.
Put him in the 90s. Okay, put him in the 90s with the golden age of the NBA, with Hakeem, Ewing, David Robertson, Dikembe, Shaq. You know, there's a lot of big guys that maybe he can't move around as much. It's, it's so interesting. And how much has basketball changed? Like I said, the three-point line is huge because Wilt didn't have that. So guys could pack it in
inside in the paint or whatever. There was no threat of the three-point shot. So you could have five guys basically hanging on Wilt's back.
Right.
And then you take a guy like we were looking at. And then this, of course, brings you to numbers. I have baseballreference.com, profootballreference.com, nbareference.com, and nhlreference.com all ready to go for this conversation.
All right.
Because you start to look at numbers for these guys.
But see, that's where you start to run into a problem, because numbers don't necessarily translate over eras.
Right. Exactly. Because it's a different game. That's exactly the point, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a different game. Like Oscar Robertson, for example. Okay? The Big O, University of Cincinnati. Okay? The Wildcats. Bearcats. What am I saying? Wildcats. I'll be okay. We're going to get phone calls on that one, Cal. He had 26,000 points in his career. 26,000 points. He had almost 10,000 assists. Like, these are that's without three-pointers. I mean, these are crazy pants numbers. Crazy pants. For his career, he averaged 25.7 a game. Right? Now, could he have played today?
Of course he could play.
Right, but is he as dominant today? He was 6'5".
I don't know.
If he plays in the 90s, is he Jordan?
He was like, Jordan back then.
Right, but exactly, that's what I'm saying. Like, if he plays in the 90s...
Jordan is Jordan. So
with
Jordan
Scottie Pippen, and with NBA, you know, with three-point lines and with NBA championships being what they were, because don't forget the NBA doesn't become what it does until the 80s, until Magic and Bird. Magic and Bird, those are two more guys. Like, Magic. Can't Magic play in any era? He's 6'9".
Yes. Look, when you're talking about the best players like that, they can play in any era. I don't think there's any argument. They could play at any point in time. The question is how effective they're going to be.
Right.
You know? These guys were great.
Yeah.
Chances are they're going to be great no matter where when they play.
Yep.
You know?
No, for sure. But the level of greatness. One of the great things about the pro reference, those reference pages, is that they have all-time rankings at the top. So, like, you look up Oscar Robertson, they rank him as 23rd. Okay, Kareem is 20. Charles Barkley is 21. Like, I wanted to start with basketball and move into baseball, football, and hockey, because basketball has changed and hasn't changed. Like, you can't teach a guy to be 7 feet tall. But
no,
like that's. But you can have no. You can't. We've tried.
I thought about it for a second. I don't right. think there's a way.
But you can certainly have the game change to where there's more 7-footers on the floor, or there's more 7-footers in the league, because it's just developed that way, and the athleticism and stuff like that. I love that this argument centers around Wilt for a number of reasons. One, because I think Wilt is one of the great underappreciated sort of sports figures. And I gotta read that autobiography. I haven't. I've read excerpts of it or whatever.
But again, he's who's he underappreciated by? Us, our generation? Do you think he's underappreciated by those that watched him play his whole career?
No, probably not. But they're too old to talk about it.
It wasn't that long ago.
On the internet. No, of course not. That's the other great thing about this conversation. Everybody thinks their generation is the best. That's especially true of baseball. Oh, these players today are nothing like Mickey Mantle or Joe DiMaggio, Willie Mays, blah, 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 blah. Hey, look. We could jump in with 2 feet to the baseball argument about Babe Ruth and say, well, Babe Ruth's the greatest baseball player of all time. Well, Babe Ruth, there were only 12 teams. Maybe 10 teams, and he didn't play against any African Americans. So his entire part of the populace, he didn't have to play against.
Well, I mean, the fact that he hit more home runs than whole teams during that era.
But there were 11 teams, Bri.
Well, there were more than 11 teams, but
how many teams were there? in 1920. What did he do that in? 21?
27.
It was in 27? I thought it was before that.
Didn't he hit 60 home runs in 27?
I'm going to Baseball Reference. How's that?
Well, you had, how fortunate we have you have it up.
I do. But Cal, he still didn't have to play against half the populace. I mean, he didn't have to play against Josh Gibson. He didn't have to face Satchel Paige in his prime.
No, you're right.
He had 60, let's see, 19, boy, this is straight Francesa I just did there.
Yeah.
Straight Francesa. That's a good job by me. 11, 29, 54, 59, 35, 41, 46, 25, 47. These are his home run numbers. 1927, he hit 60. I don't know if that's the year he had more than any other team, but there ain't that many teams.
In 1927?
27 in the A, and now he's in the AL, right?
Right.
They're not playing the NL. There's eight teams.
So there's 16 teams in Major League Baseball then, right?
Well, there were eight teams in the AL. Let's see how many were in the NL. I mean, he's been playing seven other teams.
No, but he had more. Didn't he have more home runs than, I mean, throughout the league?
Yes. No. More home runs than seven teams total. Yes. There were eight teams in the National League as well.
Okay. So more than half, you know, almost half the entire Major League Baseball.
Right.
He had more home runs than them.
But which is ridiculous. And of course, it's the dead ball era, and I get that. But he didn't have to play.
Well, but again, it's silly to say, well, you know, without a doubt, we can all agree, Babe Ruth is the greatest baseball player of all time, without a doubt. Well, there's a lot of doubt,
right?
Actually,
exactly. You can't. You know? You just can't say it.
No. And to say that he's the you can again, greatest player I've ever seen, in my opinion. One of best players of all time.
These are all opinion based. If you want to think he's the greatest player of all time, you can. Of course, you can.
Well, they're opinion based, but a lot of times in these arguments, the people come out shooting, and they're he's the greatest of all time, hands down. End of discussion. Okay, we're done talking.
I'll go then.
He's the greatest player. You've declared him.
That's the classic problem with this sort of conversation. You have to be open to the idea that some people are not open to the idea.
Right, and the problem is when people are not open to the idea, that's when it stops being fun, because then it becomes like a... Although to some people, the debate is fun. People love that.
Yeah.
You know, they eat that up.
I think here's a question for you when it comes to the eras or whatever, and we're talking about this. And you know, I certainly don't begrudge that guy like Francesa who... For no matter what, you know, Mantle is the greatest he ever saw. That's not what this is about. It's not begrudging that guy that.
Right.
It's just to say, I just want to take it more from era to era. I think it's extraordinarily difficult to say somebody's the greatest of all time.
Then the next thing that you have is, how do you define an era? Where's the cutoff? Right? Eras begin to bleed into one another.
Sure.
Right?
Well,
so that's
you had that problem in basketball for sure, because a guy like Kobe sort of spans two eras.
Right.
Because he comes into the league when he's 18, it's like 1996, right? 97? I mean, he comes into the league
90s.
As an 18-year-old. I think it was like 96.
Yeah, it was 96. Well, how old is he now?
Kobe is, I think, only 34.
Do you have Basketball Reference up by any chance?
Sure do, my friend. Wanting to sound Southern kick now. Sure do, my friend.
I wonder why.
Kobe Bryant is, I may have to do the rest of the pod. I was talking to Scott today. Scott may call in later to talk about hockey or to talk about the cover songs. We're going to talk about when a band does a cover and why. When you see one of your bands and you really like them and they do a cover, you just go crazy pants. Like, it doesn't matter what the cover is. They could be covering, like, Old McDonald.
Yeah,
they're covering Old McDonald. I can't believe this. They're the best. So he may call in for that. But I was saying that I'm on a Tommy Lee Jones kick because we've been doing nothing but The Fugitive around the office.
Nice.
In fact, last week's it started with the Provasic. He switched the samples so he could give you Provasic. For some reason, Harrison Ford is very harried there and very...
Right, yeah. Well,
McGruff,
I mean...
And he sounds like McGruff the crime dog.
He's been through quite a bit
at that point. He has to chew the ringer a little bit. Let's cut the man some slack. Did you kill Lentz too?
With those crazy eyes at that point.
Right. We've basically just been blurting out Provasic at various times in the office. And I immediately follow that up with, put that gun down. Put that gun down now. Richard, I will shoot you. Put that gun down. I didn't kill my wife. I don't care. Been doing a lot of Tommy Lee.
That's
a lot
good
of Tommy Lee Jones, yeah. Put that gun down. So, Cal, he is 34 years old. 34 years, 28 days. And if we can't find him soon, he's... Sorry. I love that. Put that gun down. PJ has to have a Tommy Lee Jones. He has to.
I think if you keep saying it, he'll get it.
He has to.
Just keep...
Put that gun down now.
He'll find it.
He did a Clara... What did he say when he jumps off? My favorite... Okay, you ready? Great Fugitive tidbit. You watch Scrubs, right?
Yeah, is this a little-known tidbit, or... Like, am I going to be surprised by this?
You might be.
Okay.
Depends on how closely you watch Scrubs.
I watch it with more than just a cursory glance.
Right, sir. You remember Janitor?
Neil Flynn?
Neil Flynn.
Yeah, obviously.
Neil Flynn is in The Fugitive. He's he's one of the cops on the subway when he finally gets Harrison Ford, finally gets the one-armed man. He's one of the cops on the subway.
Really?
Yes. And Scrubs did an episode where J.D. swears that Janitor was in The Fugitive.
Oh, that's great.
And he denies it the whole time. Like, would I be here, you know, as a janitor in a...
in a hospital.
In a hospital. And then the very last shot they show is of The Fugitive and him in it. And they cut back to him and he says the line or whatever and, like, gives, like, a wink. It was great. Total great inside stuff.
I like that.
Inside Stuff. You remember that show?
With Ahmad Rashad.
Ahmad Rashad. What happened to Ahmad Rashad?
I don't know. I remember growing up, where I was a little older than this, and
I remember being 30.
A couple of years ago. I couldn't quite figure out why Ahmad Rashad had such a prominent place on basketball telecasts.
I mean, yeah, like...
I remember... Now, literally, growing up, Ahmad Rashad did all the football games. He was a football player.
Yes. Absolutely.
I remember all of that. But then he did a lot of basketball. And I just couldn't quite... It struck me as that he just had a lot of personal relationships with the basketball players because they'd always show them kind of like yucking it up and he's over at somebody's house.
Yeah. Wow, you got crazy stuff going on there. I was trying to FaceTime.
That's you, yeah.
Yeah. We should switch over to FaceTime, by the way.
Okay.
It's stronger than Uvu.
All right.
And everybody knows that now. I totally agree. Like, why was Ahmad Rashad boys with the entire NBA? Like, how did that... Was it Felicia Rashad? Is that what happened?
I remember him proposing to her.
Wow. Yep.
The NBC program was called, like, NFL Live or something. It wasn't
right.
The NFL Today.
It was... Right. Right. It was NFL In Your Face.
Right. And it was a...
You're under arrest, Sugar. Yeah, it wasn't NFL Live or anything like that. It was like NFL Today or something like that. Or CBS was NFL Today, I think.
CBS,
but anyway, What the heck happened to Ahmad Rashad? I want to know.
I don't know.
Where did he went? Put that gun down, PJ. Nothing. I am asking you for an instant impression. No, nothing. He's not
doing anything now.
He won't even come on the air. What kind of producer? Back to Kobe Bryant, who spans generations. It does make it tough to discern because certain eras bleed into each other. You're absolutely right. I think with baseball, I feel like the cool thing is, you know, a 95-mile-an-hour fastball is a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. Like, there's been advances in the game, but, you know, Walter Johnson could pitch tomorrow. You know, you think about the cool thing with baseball is there's a lot of side stuff, like travel.
Right.
You know, these guys play day games in ridiculous uniforms, sweating their couillons off, like in freaking heavy flannel, whatever they were, flannel uniforms in 115-degree heat, no air conditioning in the clubhouse, blah, blah, blah. They get on a bus and they go play another two games the next day. And they basically have, like, two pitchers. So, like, could you picture, like, A-Rod, like, who's, like, traveled first class his entire career? And, you know, I mean, could you picture A-Rod having to make trips like that?
No.
It'd be, I mean, you just...
Well, but think about it. If they didn't have it back then yes, you can picture him doing it. I can't picture them taking him out of today's amenities and dropping him back into...
But that's what I'm saying. How much better would Babe Ruth have been if he was getting flown first class and had the whores and the hot dogs and the beers up in first class with him?
He might be like Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer, though, and wouldn't know how to handle it. Right? Like, if you were to throw A-Rod
Unfrozen Caveman Babe Ruth?
Right.
I love this.
If you were to throw A-Rod into the DeLorean and send him back to 1927, right? And then tell him when he gets there, you know, just let Babe Ruth get in the car when it comes back.
Right.
Because that's my technical way of swapping time frames.
Yeah, I like
it. I think it would work.
It was scientific.
I would love to see Babe Ruth, you know, step out of... You know, out of time travel into 2012 and with Twitter and with, you know, 500 cameras in a ballpark and
yep.
having to talk to 30 people after every game.
And night games.
Night, right. Lights.
Right. Playing at night. Yeah. That's one of the fascinating arguments about the baseball argument. I mean, think about Mickey Mantle. You know, think about Mickey Mantle being able to have the medicine or, you know, the access to an ACL surgery.
Right, right.
You know, but just outside of that, the two major things for me with baseball are always before integration, you know, those guys didn't play against the best players. Like the competition, you can't really say that they played against the best competition.
That's right.
And then the other thing is
well, they didn't, and they also didn't play against players from other countries.
Right. The Latin player, sure.
Right, or anywhere.
I mean,
whoever happened to be a ball player in America at that time, that was your competition.
Right. And he was usually Joe Bag of Donuts who had to work at the cemetery digging, you know.
Well, then these guys had other jobs. That's the other thing.
They had to have other jobs. Could you imagine?
Right.
And to go drive a truck. Could you imagine A-Rod having to go like work a UPS route in the off season just to make ends meet? Oh my good. I love that though. I love that. But it, you know, it works both ways, Cal. Those guys didn't have to deal with pitchers having video of them, pitchers being able to see every one of their at bats to break them down, and most importantly, Mickey Mantle didn't have to deal with specialized pitching.
Right.
Those guys did not see four pitchers in a game.
Right. If it's the end, you know, if Babe Ruth comes up in a big spot in the eighth inning, There wasn't a situational lefty brought in just to throw him a slider and get him to chase a pitch in the dirt.
Yep, there were no loogies.
No, it was basically whoever the pitcher was, because he was the starting pitcher.
He's still facing Rube Waddell at that point. Who's thrown 37 innings in the last 4 days, by the way.
I don't know if that's accurate, if he was around during that time.
Let's take a look.
I would have no idea of knowing that, actually. Rube Waddell?
Gosh, I hope he was now. Now I'm going to look him up.
Yeah.
But they didn't have to face that guy who was on the Athletics just to get him out.
Right. And there was no steroids.
And of course.
why don't we just talk about the elephant in the room?
Right. Rube Waddell did not. He was a pitcher, though. At least I had that. I love, you know what I love too about baseballreference.com is seeing the sabermetrics.
For back then?
Of like a Rube Waddell. Like seeing like what his war is. What's his BABIP? It's like Rube Waddell would be like so freaked out if he was looking at my computer screen. But of course he'd be like, what am I doing here? he was 1897 to 1910.
He predates Babe Ruth by a little bit.
Not much. But, he puts up some numbers.
Would he have pitched against Grover Cleveland Alexander?
No, but he might have ran against him. He was, I'm suddenly fascinated with Rube Waddell. By the way, this is why this site is so dangerous.
Oh, yeah, it's the rabbit hole.
I'll never forget one day, Dr. E-Ray Statt, when he was in med school at Brooklyn. And we used to live near each other in Brooklyn Heights. And he was burnt out from studying or whatever. It was some rotation of his resident. I mean, he was just burnt and toasty and just like needed to shut his brain off. So I would, because I was an actor, so more than happy to oblige and plenty of free time on my hands. We'd go over there and we would like play Madden for like 6 hours or something just to take our minds off or his mind off medicine. And, excuse me. He had this great sports almanac, this baseball almanac.
Uh-huh.
And we picked it up. We started having a conversation just like this. Like, in fact, maybe I'll steer it right to baseball and the heck with Wayne Gretzky. although I do have to make one good point that Scott made about hockey. But we opened up this thing, Cal. We were just having this conversation about the best pitcher ever or the best this ever and, like, looking up numbers. We spent – like we turned around, it was like 5 hours had gone by.
Yeah.
And we were just, and this is pre like big internet. This is pre big internet. This is, we're talking 99, maybe 2000.
All right.
98 actually probably. So it's pre big internet. And we spent 5 hours with this baseball almanac. And you know what we came away with? I'm going to bring them up. We did top five at every position.
Top five players at every position.
Yep. I think we did top five at every position. And the pitchers, the number one guy was hands down, and it wasn't even close, Walter Johnson. I mean, it was not even close, Walter Johnson. He pitches from 1907 to 1927.
20 years.
Okay, 20 years. And so he's spanning the dead ball era, but then he pitches into when they start hitting home runs.
Okay.
Okay, a little bit. So 1913, 36-7. 29 complete games, 346 innings pitched. 243 strikeouts and a 1.14 ERA. His ERA plus was 2.59, which is really, really, really good. And his WHIP Cal was 0.78.
that's
obviously he's not giving up home runs because nobody's hitting home runs then. But he's also pitching every 3 days. He started 36 games that year.
Right, and throwing complete games every 3 days.
Well, here's the beauty part, Cal. He started 36 games. He pitched in 48 games. He finished 10 games and had 2 saves. He gave up 44 earned runs in 346 innings. Come on now. Come on. It's ridiculous. Right. Like, man, how does his arm stay on?
I don't know.
And these guys, there was no pitch count. It's not like Steven Strasburg where they're shutting him down after 150 innings.
Right, that's like a month. For Walter Johnson.
Some of his numbers, that's probably his best year.
That's pretty good.
He was 417 and 279 overall. And he managed to put together, and that's, you know, the win-loss stat means so much more then than it, to me, than it does now.
But he lost almost 300 games in his career. How good can he be? Right?
He only had 531 complete games.
That's it?
531.
How many games did he pitch in?
He started 666.
All right, so let's just do a little quick math here. 666 games, and how many complete games?
531.
Just real quick, that's 80% of every game he started, he finished.
Yep.
80%.
His career ERA was 2.17.
80%.
He had 110 shutouts.
I like to just put it into perspective for those of you that don't quite grasp how many games 80% of a total is. If somebody pitches 35 games right now, let's say they start 35 games in a season.
Which is high, by the way.
Right, but if they start 35 games, they need to have 28 complete games in that season.
Correct. He averaged... I'm trying to look at this. I think he averaged 25 complete games a year.
Yeah, that's about right. More. If you pitch 20 years.
He pitched 21 years.
20, yeah.
So he averaged 25 complete games. 6 games finished. Don't know what that is. So he averaged 31 starts a year, and but we could go on about Walter Johnson. I mean, my goodness. I want to get in. So he's number one by far and away.
He was the best.
And I'm sorry, a 98 mile an hour fastball is translatable in any era.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like get me one of those Walter Johnson guys. How did their arms not? I mean, seriously.
And this is way before Tommy John was even born.
That's right.
So how did they do this?
The other one, Cal, the other thing that we didn't talk, like the Tommy John surgery is one thing for sure. We didn't mention that. Like the advances in medicine, the advances in just keeping guys healthy on a day-to-day basis. Forget about Tommy John surgery. You know, in all sports, like so different in every era. But think about this. These guys, the illegal pitches were legal.
Oh, right. The spitball. I mean, the spitball was like...
Spitball, shine ball, you know, these were all legal.
But the catcher would call it. It's like, you know, 1 for fastball, 2 for curve, 3 for spitball. Right? If I put it, the catcher puts 3 fingers down, he's indicating to the pitcher, just slobber all over your hand.
Yep.
At this point.
Or rub it on the shoe shine or shoe polish that's on your pant leg.
Right, whatever you got. It was legal.
It was. No, baseball, we could do an entire 2-hour show just looking at baseballreference.com and like looking these guys up. And like I said, Dr. E-Ray and I did it one day just with a hardcover baseball almanac, and we still go back to that day and refer back to it of like how great it was.
It's unbelievable.
And because that's what we did, Brian. We did a starting nine. We did a starting nine.
The best position player. The best player at every position.
Right. Our own starting nine. And then we took 4 starters and 2 relievers. So basically, we took our all-time starting nine, and then as we were naming the guys, we would look up their numbers for verification.
Okay.
It's hard not to have a lot of Yankees on that team.
Yeah, well.
It is. It is. Unfortunately, it's hard for a Mets fan. But I want to go over, and we're going to talk about that other, the sports gift thing. I want to talk about that, and then PJ's probably busting to talk about the covers or whatever. About bands covering things and stuff.
What's that word mean, Hanky? What's that mean?
What happened?
I don't want you using words around me I don't understand.
Wait, is that Tommy Lee?
Instant impression.
Tommy Lee, is that, and then he's gone.
He's chasing fugitives. He's on the run.
Don't you remember the Hanky line? That cracked me up. Don't use words around me I don't understand.
That's right. Don't use words around me I don't understand.
Well, I see what he's doing. He's doing Ty Cobb to inject himself into the conversation of the greatest players of all time.
Oh, is that what he did?
Yeah.
Is that what that was? Or you were doing The Fugitive?
I was doing The Fugitive.
Yes. That's the line from The Fugitive.
I know. I was saying Tommy Lee Jones played Ty Cobb.
Yes. Did anybody see that movie?
Ty Cobb?
Yes.
Ty Cobb the movie?
That's
the
correct.
Estate of Ted Williams.
If you have seen Ty Cobb play Cal, we're going to need to talk. Because you may be a vampire.
From all accounts, he was one nasty...
an ornery cuss, I believe.
Unlikable
is the way
in any era.
Yeah, that's correct.
That translates.
He transcends time.
Right.
As a D-bag in any era. Well done. Well, one thing on hockey and the any era conversation, because obviously Gretzky is largely regarded. I think it's really tough to do with football. Because
the greatest football player of all time, Jim Brown.
Right. It's always said.
End of discussion.
Why is it not Joe Montana?
Because it's Jim Brown. It can't be Joe Montana if it's Jim Brown.
See, I think it's too positional with football. Like, I think you have to have the greatest quarterback of all time or the greatest defensive lineman of all time. Or...
Well, I always run into a problem with football because it's the only sport where you play either offense or defense. And in every other sport, that's part, you know, both ends are part of your game.
True. Well done. Can't put anything past you.
Right? Did you know that?
They don't anymore. They use, like, what Chuck Bednarik played.
Sure. I mean, you had two-way players all, you know, back again. Different eras. They don't do that anymore.
Yeah. Football is, you know, Scott brought one up today for the football conversation. I want to get back to the hockey. But Scott brought one up today for the football conversation because we were just specifically talking about quarterbacks. And you say a guy like Marino today. Like, could you imagine if Marino's prime was 2000 to 2010 and not 85 to 95? He would have thrown for 7,000 yards a year. Could you imagine?
Yeah, I mean, he certainly would.
Without the clutching and grabbing and the stuff that the DBs can't get away with and everything, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, this era is custom made for him.
Yep.
Got guys like him, Jim Kelly. Elway.
Jim Kelly's another good call. You know who we said, too? Who? Always,
Warren Moon.
Take it easy. You're getting very excited.
Well,
Warren Moon played for 36 years.
I. This would fall into the underrated conversation that we need to have at some point, but Warren Moon is one of the most underrated quarterbacks, I think, ever.
You like Warren Moon, huh?
Warren Moon was nothing if not prolific.
He was. Too soon. He was, but he played. He was a compiler, though, at some point, Cal, right?
In two countries.
This wouldn't have anything to do with the fact that you're a quarter French-Canadian, would it?
No, because he didn't play for Montreal.
He did not play for the Alouettes?
No.
Did he play for the Argonauts?
He played for the Argonauts. No, Warren Moon was very good, and I think people forget.
Absolutely.
He was a compiler, but he was a good compiler.
That's, okay, so what about the guy that Scott brought up was Namath. Namath would kill today. Oh, he would kill Cal if he didn't have to move around or he wasn't taking the beating that he took. He had the fastest release of anybody.
Yeah.
And he, I mean, if he could just sit back there and sling the ball around, I mean, come on. No, he Namath was in the wrong era. Namath would be much better in this era, I think.
Well, he could have all the endorsements in this era, too.
Right, but I mean, he threw for 4,000 yards in that era where he was getting the crap beat out of him. Like, that's the other thing, Bri, about the quarterback positions. You can't touch the guy anymore. I mean, he wouldn't have taken the beating that he took. The guy got his jaw broken by Upshaw in the Raiders game. Like, he was getting the crap beat out of him. I think Namath is a prime candidate for playing better in this era. That's even another qualification, like better in this era. He would have been he was great in that era. He would have been better in this era. But is Montana better in this era?
Yeah, they all would have been better in this era.
Montana physically, though, worries me.
Why?
Because he was slight. I mean, he seems like, and I'm going to get killed for this, but he seems like the least athletic of those guys.
Joe Montana was not slight.
He wasn't big like Marino or, you know.
Joe Montana was a big guy, no?
You know what's big great is I happen to have the Pro Football Reference.
Right. He was big on TV.
I happen to have the Pro Football Reference page at my disposal. I'll look up Joe Montana. So is he not in the conversation for you as the best quarterback of all time?
Who, Joe Montana?
Yes.
Of course he is. 6'2". He was 6'2", 205. That's not a small guy.
Well, he's bigger than Mark Sanchez.
He's absolutely in the conversation for greatest quarterback of all time. Is Brett Favre in that conversation? Or that you have to recuse yourself from this discussion? Because you have no way of being...
Because of how much I dislike Brett Favre? Yeah, I may have to take a pass.
All time. I feel like the all time thing got thrown around.
No,
with him. You know?
Top 10 maybe? No, I can't. Boy, I can't even do. I can find 10 better quarterbacks than him all time. I can't.
Pretty quickly too.
Right. Like off the top of my head.
You know?
Montana, Brady, Peyton Manning, Marino, Bradshaw, Aikman. These are all guys I'd take over.
Kelly.
Elway, thank you. All guys, Bart Starr, Namath.
Plunkett.
These are guys let's take it easy with Jim Plunkett now. These are all guys you just said that because he's American Indian. You can admit it.
I go, well, listen, I'm trying to hit all the...
Right.
The focus group said, don't, you know, hit all the demographics.
Demographic brag.
Brady.
I said Brady. Calm down. To Eli.
Warren Moon. Well, no, here's a good question. Was Warren Moon a better quarterback than Brett Favre?
No.
You don't think
can't,
so?
I can't.
Right. Pretty close, though, right?
He didn't win a Super Bowl. I can't.
He won 5 great cups.
Oh, my bad. Take it easy. All
right? Who's legitimate championships? They get
take
paid
it easy, Hoser.
You know.
Yeah, take it easy, Hoser. All right, last thing on hockey, because then, well, we could keep going, but I want to do the sports gift and the band covers, we're doing an hour and a half, darn it.
Yeah, so we only have 27 minutes.
27 minutes.
We get a lot of stuff in.
On the hockey, with the greatest of all time conversation, Scott was telling me he was watching a great documentary on the NHL Network about, I think it was Bobby Hall. It was either Bobby Hall, Gordie Howe, or Bobby Orr. One of the big three. And the difference he cited, the biggest difference generationally that you can't say is the goaltending and the goaltenders from, like, they're playing a different game. Like, you can't possibly put Martin Brodeur and, like, you know.
Ken Dryden.
Yeah, Ken Dryden in the same conversation. You can't. Because they're playing, and nobody butterflies back then. And then the other thing he pointed out quite astutely is the equipment. Not only is it lighter, I said, well, you know, the masks, the development of the helmet and the mask is so much greater, you know, that these guys became more fearless as time went on because they're more padding, whether it be the chest protector, the pads or whatever. And he, the other thing he said, the pads didn't get wet. Don't get wet anymore. So you play back in the day, you go down a couple times, those pads would be like 50 pounds each because they'd get wet. So big, you know, I look at film of Gretzky. Like I'll see like a Gretzky special on the NHL Network. I'm not sure, Cal. I'm sure he'd be great. I don't know if he's great in today's, if he's Gretzky in today's NHL.
He might not be.
With the clutching and grabbing and just the size of these guys, there's not enough room on the rink anymore. There's just not. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think he would have a problem in today's, well, there is no today's NHL right now. There's no NHL today.
Right. Were there an NHL?
Let's suppose there was a professional hockey league in North America.
Sure.
Wayne Gretzky, again, was such a supreme talent. And here's the other thing about Wayne Gretzky. Everybody forgets what a playmaker he was. Sure, he had all these goals, but he almost had 200 assists one year.
I know.
200 assists.
Staggering.
In one year. So he makes everybody around him better, too. So you might not have seen him score 70, 80 goals a season.
Right. It's a different game, right? They don't score that much.
No, but I think he still would have had the ability to create plays and make others better.
Oh, he's still having 140-point seasons.
Right. He's still having more points than anybody's having right now.
Yeah, he's still going like 50 and 80, you know? Like
he would still be the best player in the league right now.
That's probably true. What about Lemieux?
Same thing.
Yeah, Lemieux more physical than him.
A little bit. He was bigger.
Bigger guy, more physical than him. But now, did Gretzky ever play with a guy as good as Jágr? Did he ever have a line mate as good as Jágr?
Yari Curry was unbelievable.
Yari Curry. Let's go to the tape.
You're going to go to the tape and you're going to see Yari Curry put up ridiculous numbers.
Was he as good as Jágr in his prime, though? Come on now.
He wasn't as good as Jágr. But Yari Curry was like the perfect complement to Gretzky on that line.
Yari Curry, skater rank, is number 35. That's pretty good. There's some big years in here. I'll give you that. 85, 86, he has 68 goals. That's nothing to sneeze at. He scored 600 goals in his career.
Yeah.
That's nothing to sneeze at.
What did Jágr score?
Oh, Jágr was, let's look up Jaromír Jágr's, leave off the, the consonant or the vowel between the G and the R.
For savings.
Jágr has 665.
All right, so he's got more points.
988 assists. That's pretty good. He has a couple of years where he leads the league, where on the same team as Jágr, or as Lemieux, he leads the league in assists.
Look, I'm not saying Jaromír Jágr wasn't a good player.
No, you made a great point. You're right. I asked the question and you had a good answer for it. Yari Curry, tremendous. Tremendous. I did not know Yari Curry was – I didn't know there was like a 60-goal year for Yari Curry in there.
Yeah, and I mean multiple 50-goal years.
Boy, the Jágr had some – these guys were good. You don't see numbers like this anymore. You don't.
You don't get two guys that good on the same team anymore.
Well, Malkin and Crosby, if Crosby could stay healthy.
Right, but that's the exception.
Yeah. No, it is. Well, we're seeing it in baseball with the Nats. I mean, they happen to have been so crappy for two straight seasons that they happened into not one, but two once-in-a-generation players. Literally. in Strasbourg and Harper.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. They happened into two once in these players only come along once in a generation, except they came twice. To the same team.
Well, because they were so bad. They happened to be so bad at the right time.
At the right time. Yep.
Timing's everything.
Yeah, and you know I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to bring the whole podcast down. Not going to say it.
What, by 16-1?
No, are they losing 16-1 tonight?
They lost tonight 16-1.
The New York Mets did.
Oh, yeah. Three hits.
16-1.
Three hits, 16-1. So that's why we're talking about Yari Curry tonight.
That's why Rube Waddell has been featured prominently. 16-1. Did they go for two or?
No, they did give up eight in the first. Eight in the first. Jeremy Hefner left without getting an out.
Brian, stop. Stop playing around.
Eight in the first and then seven in the ninth.
Seven in the
So if you take innings 2 through 8, there was a tie game. It was 1-1. They were right in it.
Put that gun down.
And they played this game. This was a makeup game on a Thursday night against the Giants.
Well, it was scheduled against the Giant game.
That's what I'm saying. They scheduled
and the Yankees. The Yankees played tonight too, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scheduled against the Giant game. If there were 4,000 people in that stadium tonight, I would be shocked.
They said 20,000. 20,010.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
20,010.
You know what, Cal? There are also 20,010 people in my office right now.
Right. Disguised as air.
That's correct. Molecules.
16-1 tonight.
Good job, everybody. Good job.
They've lost.
I don't want to talk about it. They've scored one run or three runs or less in 16 straight ball games at home.
16 straight home games. Yes.
Good job, everybody.
4-25 in their last 29 home games.
Good job, everybody. Great stuff.
And the best part about it.
There's a best part?
Yeah, the best part about all of this. They're broke.
They're broke. Ba-da-boom. Only the Mets.
They've got no money. So they can't get better because they've got no money.
They're also smearing their own ball players, apparently.
Right. Right.
In the press.
Right. Let's talk bad about this guy because we want to trade him.
Right. Because that makes it – nothing increases trade value more than painting somebody to be a bad seed.
Do that.
No, we're slipping. Let's stop. Stop it.
Okay. That's all. No, it's just – look, when people listen to this podcast and they're – because what's going to happen is they're going to tell tales of the 16-1 game the Mets lost to the Phillies. And they're going to realize it was on a Thursday night. People are going to go back and check the archives. Hey, let's hear what the fellas had to say about this.
Let's listen to what those Cal and Sam Pete types had to say.
So I just wanted to throw that in there.
Yep. Well, they, you know what? I think we owe an apology to Michael Kay. I think we owe an apology to now they're not historically bad. They've won 26 more games than the 62 Mets. But they're close. They are setting a record for futility.
I don't think I'm going to apologize. But I will agree that this is bad.
Yeah, I think I'm okay on the apologies. I think I'm all right. I'm going to pass. I'm not being defensive. You're being defensive.
You'd be pretty hard-pressed to find anything worse than this.
Then Michael Kay? I agree.
In my lifetime.
Oh, you mean the Mets?
Yeah. No, I meant Michael Kay.
Last thing on the all-time debate. One last thing to throw at you.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a current player in the four majors, that you would throw out there as a potential best ever? Now, there's obviously a best of of our era because we're in the era. But I'm saying best ever.
A potential player that's currently playing today in one of the four major sports, where if you were going to have the conversation about that particular sport, who is the best ever, would this player be in the conversation?
One of the best ever, yes.
You see what I did? I just repeated what you said to give myself time to think.
Excellent. Are you a lawyer?
They teach you that in podcast school.
That's right. You said last week.
The Connecticut School of Podcasting.
The Connecticut School of Podcasting. You said last week that there were things we should work on to be more professional.
Right.
I think you started the ball rolling right there.
I'm always looking to self-improve.
That's right. And I have hit the cough button a few times tonight.
I've noticed that.
I have begun to utilize the mute on my little microphone here.
Is there a player currently playing today? Now,
if you really want us to be professional, Brian, you have to get outraged by this question.
Well, that's not professional.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said you wanted us to be more like, we should be more like the radio, right?
Right. Right.
Outrage.
I need to get outraged and be indignant and very matter of fact, and what I say goes.
Yep. Be the antithesis of what we're trying to be.
And if you don't agree, well then you're wrong.
Correct.
you don't have a clue. Not only are you wrong, you're a bad person.
Wake up.
You lost.
You're lost. Wake up.
Peyton Manning?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah,
I have a couple guys in mind in each sport.
All right, Peyton Manning, best quarterback of all time?
Yeah.
Okay. But well, we're not saying he is the best quarterback of all time. He's in the discussion.
Current player in the conversation.
All right, here's an easy one. Mariano Rivera, best closer of all time.
That's a no-brainer.
But he's not playing right now, so.
But he's active.
Okay, so that's on the technicality.
We get him in. We sneak him in.
We get him in.
He's also Panamanian, and we need one of those.
Would you dare put LeBron James in that category right now?
He's got to be in the discussion.
And Kobe Bryant, for that matter.
Correct. There's two.
All right. I've hit those three sports. In hockey, Martin Brodeur.
You're missing one in football.
I'm missing one. Why? I was kind of jumping around.
Yeah, no, but there's another real obvious one.
In football.
It's Brady. Got to be.
Best quarterback of all time.
Got to be. Got to be in the conversation.
Yeah, I think he would have.
Three Super Bowl wins, a couple of MVPs, Super Bowl MVPs. He holds the record for touchdowns in a season. It's got to be Brady.
Here's a weird one. Would you throw Adam Vinatieri into the conversation for greatest ever?
Absolutely. Why? Because we need an Italian in there. A.
And a kicker.
Vinatieri.
I always wanted
one of his game-winning kicks, the announcer, to fall into like an Italian,
like completely over the top.
Yeah, here comes Vinatieri. He puts it through the field goal. Vinatieri. Oh, che fa! Ba 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 ba. Vinatieri. He hit the field goal. He kicked the ball. Vinatieri. What is that, Adam? Why are your parents not naming you Anthony? Why couldn't his name be Anthony Vinatieri?
Oh, that would have been perfect.
Tony Vinatieri? That's fantastic. That's the guy.
That's Tony Siragusa.
That's right. Tony Vinatieri is the guy who's slicing your meat nice and thin at their deli. Give me the ham gabagool extra thin, though, okay? Hey, Tony, Vinatieri, don't mess with me.
How's this? Is it thin enough?
Is it thin enough? Give you a little slice.
It's clear. You want a taste?
Hey, Adam Vinatieri, kicking a field goal!
You want the boys' head combo?
What do you want?
With the salami?
You want Munster? I got Munster. I used to be a field goal kicker, you know. Pretty good one, Tony Vinatieri.
Am I missing another football player or no?
No, just Tom.
Okay. How about Ed Reed?
Mm, pretty. How about Ray Lewis? Got to put him in there. Yeah, Ray Lewis.
Yeah, I mean,
there's a number of football players.
Is there another hockey player?
No. Oh, Brodeur.
Besides Brodeur, that you can think of?
Brodeur. Martin, Brodeur.
Maybe not.
And Brodeur.
So yeah, those, yeah.
And then baseball, A-Rod? Or is it all tarnished?
Baseball's tough because of all of that. It's not something, you can't just ignore it.
Jeter? Yeah, I said.
Greatest what of all time? Baseball player or shortstop?
Greatest intangibles of all time.
He's in that list.
Greatest Ford commercial of all time.
Player with the most edge.
Best gift baskets. All time. Although, you know who gave a nice gift basket? Phil Esposito.
Is that true?
That's correct.
Phil Esposito? Are you serious about that? Or?
I am not even remotely serious. First name that came to my head.
I feel like it would include a package of Stella Doro S cookies. Phil Esposito.
What was the Stella Doro commercial? Oh, my God.
With the breakfast treats.
Yeah, with the breakfast treats. What was the tagline?
They're not just breakfast. It's like breakfast.
Oh, PJ, where are you? Blasted Biggs, where
like,
are you?
Oh, I could see it. It's the man and the woman sitting in a dark kitchen. And
cookies for breakfast? These aren't cookies. These are Stella Doro breakfast treats.
Yes.
Cookies are for dessert, George. Breakfast treats you eat any time.
Yes.
Well, if you could eat them any time, Alice, why do they call them breakfast treats?
completely angry.
Right, and then she's like, don't talk, George.
Doesn't he say no cookies? These are Stella Doro breadsticks.
The breadsticks were good.
Wow.
Yannis had toast. Maron.
I totally forgot about this Stella Doro. That commercial is great. Doesn't he flip the light on them? Like they're sneaking them or something?
No. The man and the wife are just sitting in a dark kitchen. You know that it's three in the morning based on the lighting in the kitchen.
Right.
Typical train car apartment, one light bulb over the kitchen table.
Right.
Right.
They don't have money for electric in the house, but they've got all these Stella Doro cookies.
They're lousy with Stella Doro breadsticks.
So
breakfast treats.
They're just so, these are Stella Doro breakfast treats.
Was there another one where they steal the cookies or the Stella Doro with the chocolate in the middle?
Oh, those were good.
Swiss fudge cookies.
Swiss fudge cookies.
That was the housewife. The housewife stole the Swiss fudge cookies.
Right. I stole Stella Doro. Good job. Embedded in our collective memories from that time.
There are some those good commercials out there.
Oh, those are good. You dip that in a little coffee or whatever? Oh, man.
You know, I work on a television show called The World's Greatest Commercial.
Yeah.
Maybe I can hook up an interview there.
That would be
with who?
With us?
With the old couple.
No, maybe you should bring us on, like VH1.
Right.
Oh, sure.
World's Greatest. Well, and it'll just say Sam, Pete, and Cal from RTU.
Right.
And we're looking off the camera on an angle.
We'll cut to Todd Bridges. He'll say something funny.
Right.
Maybe
then
John
it'll be right, John. And then what's his name? Michael Ian Black.
Right.
We're there. I think Michael Ian Black has that in his book, that he stopped doing those because he didn't want to be known as that guy.
Is that guy?
As the VH1 guy.
He's kind of built for it, though.
He is built for it. And look, it's a career.
There was a very touching documentary on the closing of the Stella Doro factory in Brooklyn on HBO recently.
Well, where are they made now?
I think they moved them somewhere to Middle America.
Sounds like that was Counting Crows song.
It was. It was just. It was depressing. Really.
The worst Counting Crows song ever.
Round here. That one.
Staladoro breadstick on the move.
I don't dunk my cookies anymore.
In the heart of Middle America.
You know, Counting Crows did a great cover song that I like.
Segway.
Where's my bell?
Where's the ring the little bell? Ring the Segway bell. Hold
I'm on.
On
a Segway right now.
Segway bell. Segway alert.
Actually, that was like if I wanted a couple to kiss at a wedding. I just was hitting a glass.
Hey, question about that real quick. Is that an every thing or is that an Italian thing?
It's an everything.
That's an every wedding, right?
Every wedding I've ever been to.
I have to check on those things, though.
I've been to some freakazoid weddings.
Okay. What, like on a bet? Or?
Every stripe of nationality. They all do it.
Okay. I have to check on those things because sometimes the things that I have seen at Italian weddings all my life that I think are customary, people are like, I don't know why you're sitting on my lap now. Like, right. why are we doing the lap switch dance? What are you doing? You
know? It's such a Pavlovian.
The table and tries to remove garters from all the women.
Oh, we're not doing that?
We're not? They don't do that here?
We don't do that? Oh, no. At my last wedding, we played Collect the Garter.
You're
gonna do it like that.
I wanted to, before we get to the cover conversation, even though that was a magnificent segue, just
put
that
gun down.
Give me 2 minutes on sports gifts.
Alright, your okay. 2 minutes start.
Sports kills
now.
What'd you say?
Sports kisses. No. So we have a listener who's trying to get and wants to get a sports gift for her dad for his birthday. His birthday is on the 24th. Happy birthday, by the way. He's a great listener, loves the show. Big Mets fan, big Jet fan. And she was like, I want to get my dad something. What's a good... I have gotten some really good sports gifts of late. Teresa's really good at that. Like, the first Christmas gift she ever got me was a Billy Smith throwback pro Billy Smith jersey. The Islander one. not the Calgary Flame one, yeah. So I wanted to ask you, Cal, you less PJ, because you not so much with the sports gifts. But what are some, have you gotten some great ones? Do you have some good suggestions?
Sports gifts. At one time I got a complete set of NHL hockey pucks, one for each team.
Nice.
Like the entire, like I, it was a Christmas present and it weighed a ton.
That's a showpiece.
Like, what could this be? Yeah, and when I have a place to show it, it will be one hell of a showpiece.
Why did you get me a tractor tire?
Is this a car battery? It's very heavy.
Thanks.
But yeah, that was a really cool one.
There's a lot to this. Like I got my father-in-law this great Texas Tech helmet because he went to Texas Tech, like a little mini helmet signed or whatever by a wide receiver that played for it. And it was like, you can do that and get real creative with it. Obviously, the memorabilia aspect is huge. I don't know if you – I have a little tiny bit of that, but you could go jersey. You could go clothing. You could go mug. You know?
Sure.
There's a lot of
– Plaque.
Plaque? I still have my Islanders plaque that I got at the flea market when I was 8 years old.
I don't think
still
you
have
can
it.
Go – I don't think you can go pennant anymore.
You can if you go classic, like throwback pennant.
What do you do with a pennant these days?
You hang it up, my friend.
Yeah.
I have a pennant in my closet.
Yeah.
I have a Dayton University of Dayton pennant from my alma mater.
Right, but that's almost 20 years ago now.
And I'm also only allowed to hang it in one place.
In the closet.
In the back of my closet.
I see.
It is not allowed to be displayed anywhere else in the house. What's a good gift, though? I just give you parameters. I'll say like $100. most you can spend?
A good gift?
Yeah. But for a big Met and Jet fan. I love the sports gifts. I love them.
I do, but, you know, like...
What about the framed, signed picture?
Yeah, the framed, signed picture is a delight.
It doesn't have to be signed, either. As long as it's a good picture.
Yeah.
How about erased? Formerly signed, and someone scratched it out.
Right.
So it was a markdown.
But it was erased. They had used erasable ink. And when they went to erase it, they ripped the page a little bit.
That's something Ty Cobb would have done.
You're talking about a lot of things that stay on a shelf. Do tickets qualify as a good sports gift, or is that it's quick, it's over in a day, and quickly forgotten?
No, I think tickets are a great sports gift. I've gotten tickets, like for Scott, for example, that was his birthday gift for a lot of years, was I would take him to an Islander game because his birthday is in December.
He hated that, by the way. He talked about it all the time.
I'm aware.
Like, again, with the Islanders tickets.
Stupid Islander game. God, I guess that kid never saw a gift certificate in his life. Hello.
You know, a few years...
Abercrombie.
He knows
Fitch,
I shop
hello.
At Target. What's his problem?
A few years ago when they were selling off Shea Stadium.
Right.
And everything, literally, whether it was bolted down or not, they were selling it. Would a pair of seats from Shea Stadium be a good gift? Would you like that?
I would love that. He has something from Shea Stadium.
Who's he?
This guy who's getting this gift.
He does?
Yes. He has something from Shea Stadium. I'm not sure what, maybe a seat. It might be a seat. I mean, we're talking that level of Met fan.
You gotta, that's a serious Met fan.
That's, he's not playing around.
A full-fledged, actual-sized
jet helmet.
Not even autographed, though. How about game used?
Is it a big birthday?
I believe it is.
It's a milestone birthday?
I think it's a millstone birthday, yes.
Millstone, milestone.
I just said millstone just to be a jerk. I'm right. Being Ty Cobb-ish tonight.
All right. You make me try to myself.
Come up. Just without the racism and the killing. Another great gift that I got. I'm trying to think of. You know, every year for my birthday, we obviously go to the Met game. So going to a game is great.
Sure.
You know, but that's not an option for them. They're in Nashville.
Huh.
Right. It's something to think about. For our listeners, as a service.
What's dinner with Yogi Berra?
That's it. That should be easy to come by.
Yeah, he just meets you at a Denny's of your choice.
You have to pay for him to fly out to Nashville?
That's right. Pay for the flight to Nashville.
He's a fairly nice guy. He might just come on his own.
Might just
be happy to be invited.
That's it. Like he wasn't for years at Yankee Stadium. He was persona non grata. But if you invite him to a Denny's, he's in.
He'll show.
Can you get a Yogi Berra impersonator?
Sure. Not a good one, though.
Oh.
Depends on how much you're paying him. You could probably get a halfway decent one.
Well, that's my point. If Yogi Berra himself is too expensive, you get the guy you get the guy that does Elvis? Down there in Nashville? They've got to have an Elvis impersonator down there, right? Like,
it'd be great if it was a Yogi Berra impersonator who got all of his Yogi Berra-isms wrong.
So me.
Like, it ain't over till it's almost over. Just something like, just stupid. Like, he's just terrible at Yogi-isms.
Right.
Could get very meta with it, sure.
90% of this game is 10% mental.
You see, all my Yogi quotes are...
That's an actual one.
There is few.
That restaurant is so crowded because there's a lot of people there.
That's right.
Right, that's just, yeah.
Hey, you know, I got my buddy Kev. I got Kev a Kingman signed picture.
Okay.
For his 40th. Nice.
I think
that's a good one. Like favorite player, little sign.
Yeah. See, That's what I think. I think if you're going to get a gift for somebody, a big sports fan, you find the team that this person likes, and you find a photograph of a real key moment or even a moment that would be special to this particular person, and you get it all nice and framed, you present it in a plaque, in a frame, however you want to. If it's autographed, great. If not, no big deal. I just think that's like a nice...
Yeah, and and again, like maybe a favorite obscure player or something like that could be nice. That's all I'm saying. You know? I mean, Dave Kingman's autograph didn't really cost that much.
I have Dave Kingman's autograph.
I am the only one who doesn't anymore.
Really?
I lost it. Can't find it.
I have a baseball. It's a baseball bunch baseball. And it is signed by Dave Kingman and Mookie Wilson.
Wow. Where did you score that?
My father brought it home one day.
Well done.
Probably cost a couple of box of Twinkies.
You should explain why it cost a couple of box of Twinkies, please.
Well, because he drove a Hostess truck for a living and quite often bartered goods.
Bartered Twinkies.
I met Willie Mays, and I never thought to get anything signed. I was just real happy to meet him.
You know, I shook Willie Mays' hand once at a baseball card show, too.
Thank
you. Shares my birthday.
Did you get anything signed?
I didn't. No, he was just walking around.
So we're two idiots.
We're two jerks.
My favorite autograph, though, I don't know if I told you this or if I feel like I might have said this before. It's a baseball signed by Jose Rijo.
Of the Cincinnati Redlegs.
Right, but it also includes Jose Rijo's home phone number.
You never told me that.
I never
Why?
Told you that. Well, once again, dad's on the job in Harlem.
Right.
Right? He goes into one of the bodegas. They get to talking with the shop owner. Guy knows Jose Rijo.
Of course.
Oh, yeah, my son's a big baseball fan. Could you think he could get an autograph? Yeah, no problem. He gets an autograph.
Sure.
And sure enough, so Jose Rijo signs the ball.
Oh, I love it.
With a Spanish, it was in Spanish. And then his phone number.
Give me a call.
883-something.
Is that in case he wants more Twinkies?
I have to think that maybe Senor Rijo misunderstood the request.
Right. Or maybe he had a thing for your dad.
Well, my father never met Jose Rijo.
I see.
He just met the go-between.
I see.
Right? So.
And now it's sketchy.
Right. What does
now we're
call
not dealing,
Jose Rijo for?
Now we're not dealing in Twinkies anymore, are we?
It's like, oh, this is great.
Okay.
Thanks.
Should I call him?
I mean, I'm 11. You probably have to call for me, but...
Would your friend like a backstage pass to the World's Strongest Man contest? 2012.
Would you? No, but I would. How do I get my hands on one of those?
Get yourself the Universal Studios theme park in California. That's where we're doing it next week.
Okay.
How much would it cost to sit in the tub that these guys throw?
Oh, boy. We don't have the insurance for that.
You sign a waiver.
You take a beat.
Whose producer's daughter is going to get to sit in the tub that these guys throw?
Right, they do that. They pick up the ceramic bathtubs and,
Right.
They mark them off. How far
Well, they did do a human event once.
Oh, boy.
They loaded up a peasant wagon.
like Rocky IV style.
Like you had seven people, and then two more would get on, and then two more would get on, and the guy had to lift it and hold it straight and then put it down. But
two more peasants?
It got ridiculous. And mostly it was bad because the people standing in the wagon just started to look bored.
Were these homeless people, though? Were they putting actual peasants in the wagon?
Two by two.
People who came to see it. It was people from the crowd. Is there, who wants to stand in the wagon? And they piled them in the wagon, and the big strong men would lift them up and put them down.
Here, put these rags on.
And after a while, the crowd's like,
CEO.
All right, you know, I've been in this wagon 2.5 hours. Can I get out of the wagon now? I'm tired of being lifted up and down.
Can somebody tell Magnus von Magnussen to put us down now, please?
It was a long event. It was a long afternoon.
It sounds like a great idea at the time. This has gone horribly wrong.
Terribly wrong.
Please, somebody tell Sven von Sigenfaden to just, I've had enough.
Put the up and the down.
And give me my clothes back. These rags are not mine, good sir.
Stop it now. We run a legitimate, family-oriented...
Strongman contest.
Strongman contest.
At Universal Studios.
Well, not all at Universal Studios, but some events.
Is
some
it on
events
the
are also going to be held. Some events are also going to be held at some shady California casino.
Like a ranch somewhere?
Please file that last part under things that have never been said. Succession. We run a legitimate World's Strongest Man contest. Okay, you will find our contest is above reproach.
That's right. There's nothing untoward
those
in our show.
Those kegs that we are tossing, those refrigerators that we are lifting, those airplanes that we are dragging, all sanctioned and league approved.
And brought to you live from World's Strongest Man Arena.
All the cars that they clean and jerk, American-made.
American-made. So, wow, we're going over time. Darn it. Should we just wrap it? Wrap it.
We tried. We didn't do the cover songs.
We got to do the cover songs. Let's take 10 minutes. Can we do this in 10 minutes? Let's do 10
minutes. No, you can't do it in 10 minutes. Come on now.
How about 15 minutes?
We could do it another time.
We could do it another time.
Where are we going?
We probably... Where are you going?
We
should do it another time.
Yeah. Right? Once you pull the seal back, there's no stopping.
Once that can is open, those cover worms are... Let's do it next week.
I got nothing else to do.
Let's do it next week.
Sure.
Wrap it. Let's wrap it up.
We're going to wrap it?
We are going to wrap it.
Right.
I'm looking for the music cue. Don't mind me. I'm looking for the music cue. You know, the great thing is I labeled these last week. Clearly I did a heck of a job. Okay. That is all the time we have. Or that is all the time we're taking for this week. DJ, final on those.
Okay. Two things. One, Wolfgang Puck, I want my coffee back. And two, you heard it here. Anne Hathaway will be nominated for an Oscar for her performance in Les Miserables.
Wow. That was the Hollywood Minute brought to you by PJ. Cal, final unload.
Does he have inside info or is that speculation?
Pure speculation.
Feel it in my bones.
Yeah, he was very definitive about it.
You feeling in your plums?
She's the greatest actress of all time.
Didn't say that.
No, well, I'm just, I'm tying it in. Final unload for me is tonight the Mets lost 16-1, and you could not have had a more fitting way to officially be eliminated from postseason contention. So to the 2012 New York Mets, thank you. Thank you for everything. I'll see you next year.
You've been great. And my final unload, and I think Cal would join me in this, is... the NFL lost a true icon this week in Steve Sable. He and his father, of course, the founders of NFL Films. Steve Sable passed away on Tuesday, I believe it was, after a battle with a brain tumor. He was 69 years old. I had the pleasure of meeting one of the guys who started NFL Films with Ed Sable when I was at the University of Dayton. He was a professor, and he spoke so highly of the Sable family, it was ridiculous. I also... had a good friend who worked for Steve Sable at NFL Films in Cherry Hill after college, who also had nothing but wonderful things to say about the man. So the NFL truly lost a legend and a big part of our childhood. And Cal, anything you want to add there on the for Steve Sable?
No, I mean, people have been talking about it all week, and it's not even remotely an understatement to say he changed the way we watch football, revolutionized it, and anything that you watch from today going forward is a direct result of what Steve Sable did.
That's right, in just about every sport, too.
Just about every sport.
All the major sports. So definitely our thoughts about Steve Sable, who was great. So we will see you next week. Please go to Blue Haven if you want to grab a beer on Wednesday night, watch some sports, or on Sunday to watch the games. Next week we'll probably talk about what's going on in the world. Maybe we won't. Who knows? Anyway, thanks for joining us. Good night, everybody. Good night, Cal.
Good night, Steve.
Good night, Paul.
Good night.